Russia and Iran are on a mission to cause mayhem in Britain. Those are the words of the spy boss or head of MI5, Ken McCullum. He says spies, assassins and terrorists pose the most complex threat in the UK in decades. This is, and you'll hear just a moment some of the words he said. He also talked about how Moscow's GRU intelligence agency is on a sustained mission to generate mayhem. Could be responsible for arson, sabotage and more. Well, it's rare that someone in his position puts his head above the parapet, but here is the MI5 Director General, Ken McCullum. He's at the Counter-Terrorism Operations Centre in central London. He started by talking about the changing nature of the terror threats the nation faces. He had a warning for hostile states, such as I've referenced, Russia and Iran, who are attempting to disrupt and terrorise people here in the UK.
It'll be clear to you that MI5 has one hell of a job on its hands. The first 20 years of my career here were crammed full of terrorist threats. We now face those alongside state-backed sabotage and assassination plots against the backdrop of a major European land war. We don't balk at the challenge. It's MI5's job. If you take money from Iran, Russia or any other state to carry out illegal acts in the UK, you will bring the full weight of the national security apparatus down on you.
The MI5 Director General, or Spy Chief, went on to speak more specifically about the influence that Russian agents are attempting to exert here in the UK, calling out President Putin's henchmen in the GRU, the Russian Security Service, which is thought to have been behind the Novichok attack in Salisbury in 2018.
The GRU in particular is on a sustained mission to generate mayhem on British and European streets. We've seen arson, sabotage and more. Dangerous actions conducted with increasing recklessness and having precisely the opposite effect of what the Russian state intends in driving increased operational coordination with partners across Europe and beyond.
Now, while we've known of the threat from hostile states such as Russia and Iran for years, yesterday we heard for the first time about the terror threat posed to the UK by children. And here's Ken McCullum, the spy chief, again.
13% of all those being investigated by MI5 for involvement in UK terrorism are under 18. A threefold increase in the last 3 years. Extreme right-wing terrorism in particular skews heavily towards young people, driven by propaganda that shows a canny understanding of online culture.
And the speech finished with the Director General warnings about the terror threat which he said concerns him the most.
The worsening threat from Al-Qaeda, and in particular from Islamic State. Today's Islamic State is not the force it was a decade ago. But, after a few years of being pinned well back, they've resumed efforts to export terrorism. The ISKP attack in Moscow was a brutal demonstration of its capability.
The ISK terror attack he referenced there was, of course, the concert hall in Moscow in March this year. Killed more than 130 people. So let's pick up on a couple of aspects. First off, Sir Richard Dearlove, who's former head of the British Secret Intelligence Service, known as MI6, role formerly known as C, and joins me now. I can think of few people better with whom to speak to assess the words, the warnings we heard yesterday than you, sir. So your take on it. Good morning.
Well, hats off to the Director General of the Security Service for going public. I think it's important people understand the seriousness of the situation. But I think if you're looking for a basic explanation, of course, it's the crisis that we see internationally in various places across the world. And an emanation of that crisis is an increased nation-state activity against the UK, particularly from Russia. And he also focused on Iran, given the topicality of that issue. And then, of course, you've got to worry about China, too. And then, of course, you've got the terrorist threats that we've been living with for a long period of time. So you stack all of that together and we're in a pretty exceptional situation.
Sir Richard, how surprised were you by Mr. McCullum's level of candour?
Well, I think recently, over the last 2 years, you've seen the heads of the British agencies making more public statements about these problems. If you go back, I think, a year or so, Ken McCullum made a specific comment or gave a speech about China, which was unprecedented. A few weeks back, the chief of MI6, the current chief, Richard Moore, gave a joint press conference at Financial Times event with the head of CIA, unprecedented. I think, you know, there's a decision clearly at the center to try to sensitize people more to these problems. And I think that's a very good idea. In the past, they've been very much kept under wraps. I mean, what he's talking about is the generality of the threat. They're very careful not to be specific about operational information. So you can talk about it generally without giving away your secrets, if you see what I mean.
But this would have been carefully worked out with his colleagues. He won't have freelanced this. What, Sir Richard, do you imagine he's hoping to achieve?
Well, he won't have freelanced it at all. This is a clearly decided step that's taken. You know, there'll be have been discussions centrally in the Cabinet Office. There'll be an agreement with ministers. There will be a coordination amongst the heads of the security and intelligence services as to what he should say, how he should say it, how he should present it. And I mean, the fact that he is saying the threat so serious, I think is a reflection that this is a pretty extreme situation that we're living in. And this isn't spontaneous. It's a very clear government step. I think the advice probably comes from inside the intelligence and security community. And the Prime Minister is asked to consider it, the Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary, and they'll say, yep, fine, I think this is a good idea to make this statement.
Lastly, he talked in the speech about 43 major attacks foiled at a late stage since 2017, a number that really jumps out at you, 43. Can you give us a sense of how that would compare with a seven-year period when you were running and were past senior figure within the MI6?
Well, in that period, life was very different. I mean, it was the end of the Cold War. The international terrorist threat was only beginning to evolve in the way that it presents itself now. We were very much more preoccupied in those days with the IRA and Irish terrorism, related terrorism. There was a lot of activity on that front. So there was a major problem, but the nature of the problem was different. It wasn't internationalized to the same degree. And, you know, we were learning more gradually as events unfolded about terrorist attacks. I mean, you'll recall the early activities of Hezbollah in Lebanon when they attacked American soldiers. I mean, you can remember some of those events. It was a different period, a different time, and we were not, I think, as sophisticated and clever as the agencies are now in dealing with the threat of international terrorism. But we were learning, and we were learning fast. And, of course, I was in office during 9/11, and that was a very much a defining issue. There was a before, there was an after, and the after was very different. And I think, in a way, you can draw a line, particularly on the issue of international terrorism, around the events of 9/11.
Grateful for your time as ever. Thank you, Sir Richard Dearlove, you former head of the British Secret Intelligence Service, or MI6. 7:13, let's get straight to Jonathan Hall, who is a KC and the UK's independent reviewer of state threat legislation. And the figure that jumps out in context of our conversation is the fact that more than 1 in 10 people investigated by MI5 over terrorism offences were under the age of 18, and there's been a threefold increase. What do you see as the cause of that? Good morning to you, Mr. Hall.
Good morning. The cause is the internet. I think that there's a bit buried in the speech of the Director General where he says you cannot understate the centrality of the internet. And you can bet your bottom dollar that the people who are being arrested, these children, are in the main almost all young, isolated individuals who get their meaning from the internet. And but for their ability to access all sorts of stuff on the internet, they would not be going down these rabbit holes. I mean, all of the different causes, all the exotic ways in which children are now getting drawn into terrorism. Right at the heart of it is the internet, and it's a little bit of a banal thing to say. It's something that people like me have been saying for some sort of time, but there is now a completely new entrenched pattern of terrorism in the United Kingdom, and there's no reason to think it's going away anytime soon.
When you say they, quote, get their meaning from the internet, can I drill down to that? What do you mean by that?
I mean that they're isolated. So there are people...
Oh, I see. This is
no
their
friends.
Whole life revolves around it then, effectively.
That's right. I mean, obviously there are people who have no friends. Many of them will have difficult family backgrounds, but not necessarily all. So when they're looking for meaning in their life, they don't enjoy school. They don't think they've got prospects in the world. They can go online and they can become a member of some extraordinary far-right organisation like Feuer Creek Division or Sonnenkrieg. The commander of one of these organizations was a 13-year-old boy, and they can do things online which they can't do in real world. And a good example is the case of Daniel Harris. He was, like many of them, in this sort of cohort, he was autistic, so we have to take it that he was very, very isolated, but he was able to produce really powerful propaganda which inspired two mass killings around the world. So people, I'm afraid, can have real impact and meaning from their online activities.
And how is it to be countered, Mr. Hall?
We have to see how the Online Safety Act works. The UK has put the eggs in the basket of this act. It's going to impose safety obligations. I do think that Ofcom, who is the regulator, do need to think a little bit more about the particular danger of terrorism content to children. I mean, they're very alert, obviously, to the risk to children from child sex abuse material or pornography. And quite rightly, they're saying you can't access those sorts of sites if you're under 18. They need to think also about just what the internet is doing in terms of terrorism to children. So I think that means looking again at questions of anonymity online, increasing the amount of age verification.